And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
So in the verses 38 to 39, we have seen last Friday that resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So that is what in the life of Lord Jesus Christ and others we have noticed that. And it is not our responsibility, our thing, God has not given into our hands to judge and turn back the evil to the evil. And our Lord is wanting to be children of love, so to manifest the love towards him in all situations and matters. And in verse 40, And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So this is, if somebody sue the believer, the Lord says that asking for the coat, that is an outer garment, and let him have thy cloak also. So whatever the inner side, shirt or other thing, what you wear, that also you give him. And you don't really resist at the law, court, for they wanted to have your goods. That is, your property or related things, what you possess. But the Lord has manifested, and God has also manifested that one, that he gave everything to us, and who gave everything freely. And when we live here on the earth as the children of the Heavenly Father, there are two things. One, he wanted to make it a habitual life that we are the children of God manifesting his nature. And where you are left here now, after our new birth, that to bring us into the sanctification and growth into the nature and the behavioral manifestation of the Lord's nature. And when we don't learn that one, that is one thing. The second one is, those who learn that in their life experience, that what the way the Lord lived here, those are the people when the new dispensation, that is the millennial kingdom, is ushered on the earth, these are the people who are going to manifest the nature of God and influence the people to live this kind of life. Lord lived this life and now he has taught us. He is our master and our master, and we are his disciples. And the disciple is not greater than the master. And whatever he has lived, and he expects us also to live the same thing. Because of that his nature, then he taught us. And when we are coming into the experience of the same thing, and God is going to use us, the ones who are children now translated into sons, and grown into the maturity of full development of the nature and the character of God, Jesus Christ. God is going to use them to influence and to rule the world in the coming dispensation. But when we fail to do so, and we also lose the privilege of ruling in the millennial kingdom because that was not become our experience while we are living here. Once we go there, and we will have to stay aside and learn the things, we will not be able to participate in the coming kingdom. So in that regard, the Lord loves us. And for our sanctification and to learn these things in our life, and he continues to give opportunities for us. And the more we realize that every opportunity or every difficulty or every problem the Lord brings to our attention for our work, for our inside work, which is a sanctification. And many times then we ask the Lord to remove those problems, or we also try to find ways or manipulate the situation so that we come out of those problems, because those are all painful. So here, a man was asking your outer coat. That means it is everything is over. Now you have not left anything except your dress. The Lord is saying that also we give him. And that means he expects us the way he lived here. Though he is the creator of the whole earth and the heavens, but the Son of Man has not to lay down his head also, there is no place. So that was the way that he lived. But when it comes to our positions and to just to sacrifice a bit also, because there is always a feeling that it is mine and I have earned and this is mine. And rightfully it belongs to us also, but when a man goes to the court and sues us and demands that we need to be given that, the Lord says it is better to give him everything. He asks one, then you also give the inner court. That is very difficult for a man, because our attachment, our emotions are connected to all those things where we live in, where we are attached, where we have what we possess. But those who look for the higher blessings and also heavenly blessings, the Lord expects us to act in that manner. And not only besides the Lord, then I found one beautiful example in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm reading from verse 26 onwards, verse 24 onwards, sorry. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, 'I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame.' And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord, the king. But my lord, the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord, the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace and to his own house." So we know the story here, that the Ziba, actually the servant of Mephibosheth, and he had an eye on the land of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a lame man, but was called from by David and made him to be the one who eats with the and the king's table. But when David was dethroned by his very son Absalom, then he had to go to the wilderness or forest, or leave the city. That time, Ziba went and slandered Mephibosheth. Then David told him, "You take the land," because David, it appeared that he has given the weightage to the words of Ziba. But when the king returned, Mephibosheth and went met him. So then David thought that what Ziba then was a, he deceived Mephibosheth, and also he slandered Mephibosheth at King David. So David gave all the land to Ziba. Then when he came and met Mephibosheth, he saw the Mephibosheth. He did not trim his beard, he did not do his nails, and he looked very shabby. Then David asked him, "Why did you not come?" He said, "I was a lame man, I could not go, but my servant Ziba has deceived me." Then when David told him that you divide the land, then Mephibosheth told Ziba, "David, let Ziba take everything. I don't need that land, because my God, my king, has come back, returned in peace." So his heart was filled with the king. That time, it was, if our hearts are filled with God, that is the matter. Then he did not fight for his own land. The man was already deceived, and he did actually harm to him. But in spite of that, Mephibosheth, and in his heart, the affection and the emotions are filled towards the king is so amazing. And not only that, because of that love and affection to the king, and he was so joyful that the king returned in peace. And when he had the king in his heart, he did not bother to forego everything. He was only asking half of it. But Mephibosheth said, "Let him take full." So I found it is a very amazing example in the Old Testament. Though that time it was not the dispensation of grace, but it was a touching example of a life in whose heart king is filled, and in whose heart the love and the affection towards the king is so overflowing. And when our hearts are filled with the king, and the coming glory, and the joy where we will be eating and drinking with the king's at the king's table, and should that all our affections will slow strangely dim, and the song we sing, that becomes the experience of Mephibosheth. And when we really ask the Lord, "Lord, this is what is the experience you wanted to give to me," and that is what is the wonderful and amazing thing. And it is unbelievable the way what Mephibosheth acted on it. And our Lord in Philippians, we see that he gave everything up for us. And now we also see another example of what Paul was writing in book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So these are believers, but not yet sanctified, and they are learning the principles of how they need to live as a children of Heavenly Father, but not so much done well so far. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I read few verses. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" So if a brother and a brother has something, and they were going to the unjust outside judge to ask for the justice to be done, so they are not going to the believers. Verse 2, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So now you imagine, so what is the privilege of how not to fight against the law here, even to forego everything? Because if that is the heart of the new dispensational judges that are the glorified saints, that is how they are supposed to be, then that is the way they are going to judge the world on that matter. Suppose if I am not trained in that with the life experience of leaving or foregoing my own thing and tell the people that you need to leave, how I am going to judge the coming dispensation world? No. But these, that is the burden Paul carried for the Corinthian believers. When two brethren were fighting, then they are going to the third person who is a Gentile for the justice. Verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels also? How much more things pertain to this life? So judging the angels, it is a matter pertaining to the heavenly matters. And when we are unable to understand and what to leave, what to hold upon the earth, how are we going to judge the angels in matters related to the heavens? And so that is too far. Verse 4. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So it is a problem. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that therefore before the unbelievers. So when we hear two brethren going to the court of law and giving false testimonies against brethren for different things, as we read in that verse, instead of losing and let go everything, they are fighting, and it is causing very disgrace to the name of God. And all over, that is, it is very, very heartbreaking, heart aching thing when we hear these things. But now, verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? So why don't you suffer the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? So if they are asking you, then why don't you give them back everything? So man always talks about what is right, what is wrong. What is reasonable, what is unreasonable. What is my right and what is your right? But that is according to the law, according to the worldly law. But God's law is, if somebody is demanding and he is forcing you and he is demanding you certain things to be given to him, what the law says, then you give him. So it is better to be defrauded than to go to a court of law and fight for your rights. And as long as we learn to think on the basis of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the man thinks then what is right, what is wrong. But that needed to be changed into what is the tree of life, what did the Lord do, and what would the Lord do at this time, and how I need to conduct my life. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. So here is a good testimony about these brethren. So there is one more verse in Hebrews chapter 6 also. We'll see that. And then move to 10. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So, leaving these things, and they are also serving the other believers, and he said, the Lord is not unrighteous to forget what you have done unto them. But regarding other people, book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 31 onwards. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But call to remember the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So they have given, it is not something with out of fight, but they have lovingly did that. He said, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. But in these places, we see that the Lord notices how his children need to conduct their life here as a testimony worthy of the calling of God. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So if anybody asks you to go for a mile, then you go with him 2 miles. So in the olden days, in the Persian kingdom, there on the government service, it is a different way the things are delivered. And from every mile or 5 miles or 10 miles, there is a person and takes the things or the messages, and he travels on his horse for a certain distance and hand over the things to the second one that is at that post. And that person carries forward and gives it back to the third person. So the one person do not travel all the way the long, long distances. And also the return also the same way, they carry the messages and bring it back to the king. And that is called in Persian, Angaram. But in India also, we call it the same word, Angadia. And many people in those from might have heard that name. So that is the meaning of it. And that originates from there. And also the Palestine also adopted the same kind of a practice. And if king wanted to deliver a message, then he will tell the person to take the message to so-and-so, and that so-and-so person will go to further the third person goes to the fourth person. That is a king's service to the king. So in that time, while they're asking you your time and your also animal to be used in the service of the king for free. And that time, if you are saying, you cannot say no, you must show obedience. Though it is inconvenience to you. But when they are asking you to go for a mile, then he is saying, instead of going for one post distance, you go for 2 posts, that is 2 miles. So it is here, it is not the traveling time or losing thing, but you need to show the obedience heart to the higher authorities. Whatever the service, the king or the authority is demanding in your life. But how you are going to react unto that? And that is the heart which God wanted to see in us. So when you are saying that I am not free, then the Lord will say that is not good. But if you say it is I don't need to go, that is also not good. If something comes upon you and the Lord expects you that you do it very happily. So going for 2 miles, it doesn't mean that you literal distance, but very cheerfully and without any resistance, is more than something asking like, can I do anything more than this? And that is the heart which the Lord wanted to see from the children of God. So when the Lord has kept the governments here upon us, so different ways in different countries, different systems of government functionality. But when certain responsibilities, though it can be easily avoided, but it thrusts upon us when we are coming out of, trying to find ways to come out of that responsibility. So that is, you can come out of that one, but that means your heart is not willing to show obedience to the authority whom God has appointed. So he said, you don't do that. And wherever you are living, and whatever is coming upon you in the service of others, by the government, or otherwise also, if they are asking you to go for a mile, then you do it 2 miles with an open and a loving heart. So what is the use of that one? But when you are showing obedience to the king, though there are ways for you to avoid that one, but one, you are showing your obedience to the kings and the judges whom God has appointed over you. The second one, you manifest that kind of a loving heart where you will have an opportunity to present the nature of Christ to the other people. But when there is a rebellious nature or trying to find ways to not to show obedience to the command of king, then we will have no opportunity to present the testimony with life. And that is the sad part. So the Lord expects his children to show obedience in every part of our life, including the smallest matters, whatever so it comes upon us. So many times we may show obedience, but with not kind of a going for 2 miles. Not in a literal sense, but with our heart, how do we respond? So book of Matthew chapter 17, I'm reading verse 24 onwards. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take and give unto them for me and thee. So he is the master of the whole universe. And he is the son of God. And he is free from paying anything and showing obedience to the tax to the higher authorities. But when he came to Capernaum and the tax collectors came and asked whether your master will pay the tax or no. And the Peter said yes. And he came in. I don't know what Peter would have said to the Lord, but the Lord said, even before the Peter says something, and he said, he asked him a question that, what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Who will pay the tribute? Children are free. Peter said unto them, of strangers. Jesus said unto them, then the children are free. Only the citizens will pay the tax and the tribute. And the children are supposed to be free. So when we say that we also belong to the children in a spiritual sense, but that will be manifested later. But as long as they're here, then whatever the government is demanding, either service or a tribute or whatever the form it is. But if you are not willingly doing that, and that is not walking 2 miles, that means our hearts are not ready. Book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So if we do not show obedience to the higher authorities, that is not good. But if we show obedience to them, because of the wrath of the king may fall upon us. That is one thing. But you, as the children of God, he says, but also for the conscience's sake. That means, Lord, I am willing to walk 2 miles. Whatever my authorities is saying, that I am willing to walk with them, for them, and even if it is inconvenient for me. And also, I walk 2 miles without any murmuring. Though I do not need to do that, but still I do that because that is coming, the order is coming from my higher authorities. So that can be manifested not only there, in all our workplaces and everywhere. And when we are not able to manifest that kind of a love-filled heart towards authorities to walk 2 miles when they are demanding only 1 mile. And it is, we feel that if I continue to do that, then they will exploit me. That may be true, but the Lord, what he said is, if the children are free, but still not to offend them. I don't need to do that. But the Lord said not to offend them. Then you go on fish and then take the first fish to come out and pay the tax for me and for you both. And it is, when you have the freedom not to do that, but you still you subject yourself to do the service. But doing that service, how you do the service, that is the most important thing. For your conscience sake, you submit. And when we come to the next verse, Matthew 5, verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thy away, not thou away. If anybody is ask you anything, or you are in a position to give, lend money, if they come and ask you, turn not away. That means you need to give to them. You have resources, you can spare, and you need to, if they are asking you, and you give them. But it is when we see that who is asking and whether they are in a position to give us back or no, we always weigh that situation with a brother or anyone who is asking, or an outsider also. Then according to the what we feel, they will not be able to return, then we conveniently say it is not, I don't have, or I'm not giving. So the Lord says that you don't do that. And we see that book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. I'm reading from verse 7 onwards. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from any thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for his this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. So if you don't give, thinking that whatever the money or the I lend him, the brother will not be, there is no need for him to pay back after certain time, and that time is closing nearer. Thinking that way, then if we avoid to lend that money, because in his poverty, in his need, if you are not, if you are ignoring, then the Lord will consider that against you. But if you give him, the Lord will bless your hands of labor of love. And in also in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 30 onwards. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. So you give him, and if he doesn't want to return, but you don't ask him. And you would, as you would that man should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So if you are the person that you take the money of others and run away, you don't want to pay them back, so let others also do the same thing to you. So that is a payback time. It is good. Had we done that before, if somebody is doing now, now the account is settled. But even if that is not so, book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So a very great statement. So the way the Lord loved and gave himself for us, it is the same standard the Lord expects from his children towards the other children, those who are in need. We ought to lay down our lives to the brethren. And if we are, the most important and the costliest thing every man possesses is the life. He said, you are, ought to love brethren in such a manner, even to lay down your own life. Verse 17. But whoso hath had this world good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? No, it is not possible. So when I say I love my brother, and I have plenty in abundance to eat, to enjoy everything, but my brother do not have the things what even the minimum necessities of this earthly life, if we continue to ignore, that means that is not an indication of love. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it is not, we don't do in just say, and Lord will take care of your needs, we pray. That is when we don't really have to say and continue to pray, that is a different thing. But when we are in a position to do something, those who are in need, a dire need of their minimum needs of this earthly life, and the Lord lays the responsibility upon the children of God to respond, to take care of them, to do whatever is possible within our means. So when we wanted to open these kind of thoughts in our hearts, and the Lord will put us into different situations in our lives, individual lives. And sometimes we may not be very good in following this, but as we develop the burden, these words become truthful in our lives, the Lord will slowly prepare our hearts. And that has been my blessing which I received from the Lord. Because when we do it gladly, willingly to others, then our blessing never came down. And it is actually increased. And the fear which we have, if I give, then I will be short of this, is coming from our lack of faith. And also our lack of love to the people. But when we overcome that and ask the Lord and willing to share, and that kind of a heart, the Lord really blesses it. So in Proverbs, there is one verse. There are people who could have given more, but they did not give. Still they became poor. But there were people who gave more than what they could have given. They could give. But still they became rich. So it is not something by holding something that my wealth is accumulated. But it is the Lord who blesses. and also makes it, if those, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and he will not add sorrow to that. So once we recognize that one, and our hearts will be opened up to the needy people to do what needed to be done. And also when we are willing to do, sometimes with our, because of this verse, but not with a sanctified heart, we always see how the money or help you are giving to the others, how they are spending that money. And you feel justified, because if they are not spending it properly, why not to not to give? And I think we need to overcome that also. And if they are not doing well with the resources what God provided, you have given because of the Lord is asking you, when if somebody come and ask you, give him. But when they are misusing the resources, the Lord will handle that matter with them, between him and the Lord. But with us, the Lord will ask us. When they ask you, and he didn't say any subjective clauses, if they are good, if they spend well, if they use it reasonably, and all those things are not attached. So sometimes it is, we feel sad, but the Lord will undertake those issues as well. And I gone through all these things, so it is slowly learned these lessons, and God has tremendously blessed according to the measure I showed obedience. And when I did not show obedience, there was nothing. But when I wanted to say, Lord, and these things are looking very difficult to implement in the life, but help me to overcome. Even sometimes within the family. And that loving heart was missing many years. Though we know and we preached and we did this, we did that. But the heart which is required to love really the way the Lord loved, and to show forth the same kind of heart towards the needy people or authorities or the people who are troubling, and that was missing for a long time. But when I saw that that was not acceptable to the Lord, and when I pleaded with the Lord started opening up the opportunities where I can enter in and slowly tread my path carefully, and step by step, the Lord helped me to do that. And as we desire to have those things earnestly, and the Lord will bless all of us. And when we held on to the things which we felt that is ours, we have miserably failed to proclaim the Christ. Though we were preaching, but that is not the way. The life filled preaching was missing. I think from 43 onwards, we will see tomorrow then.